What a time and season we're in right now. It's phenomenal. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We completed the 10 days of awe from the 15th to the 25th. We're headed towards the tabernacle. Amen. The Feast of Tabernacles. We are still in the Yom Kippur, which is the Feast of Atonement, where God's judgment is happening. And let me tell you, judgment is happening. He's exposing, he's removing, things are happening tremendously. Now, you know, we can look at the world, but God judges the body of Christ first. Judgment is in the house of God always first, before he can judge the wicked. So that's why, it's so important that you are in position that your heart, intent, is righteous before God. It's according to his will, not your own. It's according to his time, not your own. Amen? You know, we're going to talk a little bit more what's going on, but first the Holy Spirit was saying, listen, my people still don't get it. He said they're still losing sight that there's demons that they're fighting. There's got to be a demon reality in everyone's life. If there's not a demon reality, you're going to lose every time. Demons, disembodied spirits. Amen? They are disembodied spirits. You know what their desire is? A body. And they don't care whether you're a Christian or not. Well, demons, Christians can't have demons. Oh, baloney. You got a demon for even thinking that. Demon to deception. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Demon reality. Oh, we got to slap this in the head till it gets in the spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now the Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Spirit, amen, expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith. Forever attached in the heavenlies, right? Faith, that means their connection with God. It didn't say that they wouldn't say, we're believers, but they're not walking according to what belief is. Because the word believe means to what? Follow. So they're going to stop to follow, but they're going to still call themselves believers. But God says, no, you're a liar. And the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits. These are demons. And doctrines of demons. Why? Because they carry their own message. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their own conscience seared with hot iron. Why? They've gotten so deep in agreement with them that now their conscience has been hardened. They can't hear God's and receive his conviction. How many know God speaks through your conscience? Amen. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. By the word of God and prayer. So these people are falling astray because they're not maintaining a prayer life. They're not decreeing the word of God. Amen? Deceiving spirits. People won't know they have demons. Sometimes people just don't know they have a demon. Everybody else does. Why? Because one of the things that the demon does is blind you. He turns your focus on you. People won't even know that they have demons. Even Christians might not know they have demons, but others will. If a person proclaims to be a Christian and they smoke, they have a demon. If they drink alcohol, they have a demon. If they're foul mouth, they have a demon. If they're into pornography, they have a demon. If they're fornicators, they have a demon. If they're addicted, they have demons. If you're a bartender, you have a demon. Hello. If you've been tattooed, you have demons. until their curses broke. Amen? Listen. And people have demons that don't even know it. Listen, if you're a Democrat, you have a demon. It's that simple. That's why they're called Democrats. Hello? And what do they promote? Abortion. If you're a person that claims to be a Christian, you promote abortion, you have a demon. If you're a promoter of gay rights, you have a demon. If you're a promoter of transgenders, you have a demon. Probably a bunch of them. Hallelujah. Or homosexual or lesbians. If you're promoters of them, they all have demons. Does everybody get it? They have demons. Now, they might not know it, but we're to know it. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to know they have demons because you're going to know them by their fruit. What's their fruit? Their desires. Their what? Their desires. Yeah. Hallelujah. Listen. And if you don't have control over your members, something does. Hello? It's called a demon. How about over your desires? Over your thoughts? How about appetites? You think gluttony is not a demon? It is. Amen? If you don't have control, something else does. Again, there's a lot of things that associate with demons. But people have demons and don't even realize that they do. Your head doesn't have to spin, and you don't have to puke out green stuff to have a demon. Amen? You'll know them by their desires. You'll know them by their what? Desires. What's your desire? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Demon reality. That reality's got to be before you all the time. What's it say? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. The Bible tells us not to be friends of the world. Amen? We're not in the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world anymore. We're living from the future, not from the present. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust, living under satanic torment. What's lust? An overwhelming desire. It's a what? Overwhelming desire. That's what lust is. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Is lust a demon? Yeah, certainly. These are not of, is pride a demon? Yeah. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Is rebellion a demon? Yeah. It's influenced by what? Witchcraft. Well, I don't have a demon. I'm just doing what I want to. You know, what Satan's doctrine is do what you feel like. If you're a person that makes decisions by how you feel, you got demons. Because you're to be make decisions by truth, not how you feel. Amen? Let's go a little bit further. Verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, in other words, the last days, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They're all in the media now. Boy, they got seats and positions, and they're preaching doctrines of demons. They are Antichrist promoters. They went out from among us. Hello? But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So what's he telling you? Without the anointing, you ain't going to know it. You'll be blinded. And let me share this with you. You could have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, casting out devils and so forth, and still have a demon. Even Jesus told them. They came up to Jesus and said, but Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We lay hands on the sick. We do all of these things. And Jesus said, get out of here. You practice lawlessness. In other words, their desires, not according to the will of God. And he said, depart from me. I don't know you. What a terrible place to be, thinking that you're doing wonderful things for God. Find out that. He said, no, man, you've been doing it for yourself. You've been trying to have a relationship with me with works instead of relationship. I'm not interested in your works. I'm interested in you talking with me and me talking to you, and that you know my voice, that you know my unction, that you love me, and that you'll follow me. What does he say? If you love me, you'll what? Obey me. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing empowers against demons of lust. Again, what's that? Lust, living under satanic torment. Because people that are living a life of lust are tormented. They're constantly trying to justify themselves. Oh, this is okay. Yeah. Why, they're tormented inside. Religious spirits are demons. We're not religious. We're free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Freedom. Free from yourself. Praise God. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. He was a king. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. It was a demon. Now, why did the Spirit of the Lord depart from Saul? Because Saul became disobedient. See, the gifts are without reproach. So you can still speak in tongues and not have God's presence anymore. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit or demon from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he will play it with his hand, when a distressing spirit from God is upon you, you shall be well. In other words, you shall be delivered. But again, that demon will come back, won't it? The Bible says when a demon leaves an individual, he seeks what? Another place. And then he does what? He goes back to his home again, where he came from. So every one of us that had demons that got delivered, those demons are still trying to get back to you. That's why you got to keep all the doors shut. Distressing spirits. Distressing. In other words, he was so distressed. You know what one of the areas of distress is? Anxiousness. Anxiousness is distress. Oppression will come out of that. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit to deliver individuals oppressed by the devil. Amen? How about fear? Fear. Torment. There's so many people that still live in fear. It's incredible. Can a disease be from a demon? Yes. We're going to see more and more manifestations of demons. They're always looking for a host. Look at the White House. They're filled. Even the Pentagon, the Senate and Congress, they're holding seats. They're in these hosts. This world would have not gotten into the circumstance if it wasn't demons controlling them. And it wouldn't have gotten into the circumstance if believers stood up against demons and it became a reality to them. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, please. Let's speak. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of what? Fear. But of what? Power, love, and sound mind. So when anxiousness comes, that's associated with fear. And when that begins to manifest in your life, the power gets diminished. Love gets diminished. And a sound mind becomes confused. You know you got a demon when that comes. Or you'll be influenced by a demon, depending on how long you allow it to harbor there or attack you. Once you sense it, get rid of it. Don't justify it. I'm just going through something. That's a demon. Don't let them connect and lay seeds in you. Don't let them stay there. Kick them out right away. A third of Jesus' ministry was casting out devils. A third was healing. And a third was gospel, preaching. In Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Let me tell you, an unclean spirit is a demon. It doesn't mean it's not been washed and, you know, stuff. It's a demon. Unclean means corrupt. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. Let me share with you, these demons sometimes have supernatural power, but their power is never stronger than the power of the name of Jesus. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." That means 2,000. Can you imagine this dude had 2,000 demons in him? There was an individual that we know about that was in the jungles of Africa, and his family were high priests of Satan's kingdom. And he was able to transform and do all kinds of things. And after he got saved, it took him 2 years to get delivered. He had thousands of demons, thousands. His father was a high priest. He was supposed to inherit it all. They practiced witchcraft. When him and his family went into town, people were afraid of them. And one day, he went, because he used to be able to go into the underground where all Satan's kingdom and their main offices were. And he'd go down there and he'd spend 2 weeks down there. And he was boasting about how long he could stay down there to other fallen angels that were there. One of the angels said to me, "No, there's one other. They can stay longer than you." And he said, "Who is this person? I want to meet him." And he said, "Every time we mention his name, hell shakes for 2 weeks. So I ain't mentioning his name," he said. So the dude is walking down the street, and all of a sudden, somebody grabbed him, and he couldn't see. He thought it was his associated demon friends. And he started calling out their names, and they grabbed him and dragged him. And they brought him into this church. He said, "What are you doing?" And the voice said, "You wanted to meet me. You wanted to know my name." And sat him down in a pew in the back. And the preacher was all freaked out because he knew what family he was from and what was going on. He's going, "You know, Lord, what's going on?" So he did an altar call right away, and he said that the hand grabbed him and dragged him up to the front and sat him down there. He says, "My name is Jesus, and you're about to know me now." Well, he got saved, and it took 2 years to bring deliverance. In fact, he had to hide for the 2 years because his family tried to kill him. And afterwards, God granted him favor. He went back to Africa and his tribe, and they all got saved and became evangelists, even his father. That's the power of God in the name of Jesus. Amen? We have dominion. And so here this guy had thousands of demons. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 11. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it into the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus, and they saw the one who had been demonized and demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them and how it happened to them and who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. When he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with them. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. So right there and then, Jesus cast out thousands of demons out of one dude. Amen? A legion. Mark 16, verse 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11, and they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen from the dead. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." In other words, he who follows will be saved. "And these signs will follow those who follow me. Believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons." That's the first thing he says. They will do what? Cast out demons. I love it. "They will speak with new tongues." Why? Because they've been baptized in the Spirit. They get a language from heaven. "They will take up serpents and they will drink anything deadly and by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will what? Recover." Again, the first thing he says, and they will cast out demons. You know, you can cast out your own demons. Hallelujah. In fact, deliverance should be continuously. It's not just a one-time event. That's why every morning we're to pray, we're to attack demonic forces and break and loose ourselves from these things. Get dressed with the full armor of God. Shutting the doors for them not to access anymore. We have the power and authority in the mighty name of Jesus. We've been given that weapon, his name, his blood, and his word. Leviticus 20 and verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Again you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or the stranger who dwells in Israel, who gives any of his descendants to Moloch.'" Moloch is a demonic deity. That's where abortion comes from. He is a demonic deity. When abortion is done, Moloch gets offered it. They have, in the Old Testament, there were iron statues of Moloch. And his arms would be stretched out. And they would take their children and throw them on these iron irons and they would fry. And they would offer up to these demonic forces. Abortion is the same deity, that demonic deity. "He shall surely be put to death, says the Lord. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I'll set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people because he has given some of his descendants to Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from the man when he gives some of his descendants to Moloch and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against him, that man against his family, and I will cut them off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Moloch. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits or sorceries to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his what? From his people. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. Moloch. You know, when we are ignorant, sometime, people who pray to the dead, it's called necromancy. It opens a curse. Well, I was somewhere the other day, and this guy I thought was a believer. He says he's a believer. And he said, yes, I was praying to some saint. I said, what are you praying a saint for? I said, you know, you bring a curse on yourself because you're praying to the dead. Well, I was praying to Saint Michael for a blessing. I said, why would you pray to Michael when you can pray directly to your Father in heaven, God? So what do you mean? I said, man, you bring a curse on yourself. You need to repent. It's called necromancy, and it's praying to the dead. People tell me, well, I was talking to my uncle and my aunt and my grandmother. That ain't your uncle, your aunt, or your grandmother. That's a familiar spirit causing and bringing a curse on you because you're touching and agreeing with it. But again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Those are demons, familiar spirits. Amen? Leviticus 19:28. What's it say? You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. See, you know, did you ever hear people cutting themselves? Why do they cut themselves? Because they need to shed blood. Human blood. Oh, demons get fed by that. You do it enough times, it opens a port. Because they love blood. Human blood. Because the Bible says that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Amen. So when a person is shedding their own blood, they're actually sacrificing their offering to demons. I mean, I've heard of young kids having cutting parties and stuff like that. And they just sit around with a razor blade and they cut each other and bleed. Well, think about when you get a tattoo. Do you bleed? Same thing. So people don't realize that when you get a tattoo, you bring a curse on yourself. Oh, but it looks good. You don't need to be a Christmas tree. You don't need any ornaments. Amen? In fact, I was always brought up, never get tattooed. Of course, if you were doing something wrong, you know, you didn't want to be. And I don't understand. People in the drug world, they get tattoos all over them. It's like, man, you can find out who they are. But anyways, when you break the curse off and command that spirit to leave them, that's over with. You repent, command that spirit to go. It's over with. Amen? Hallelujah. But again, what does it say? You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. I can't tell you how many people I've run into that are so-called Christians and they're tattoo artists. I said, bro, you're cursing people and you're bringing a curse on yourself. Oh, I'm getting Jesus put under. Jesus doesn't need his name on you. He's looking for his character, not his name. Amen. Joshua 7, verse 10. You know, there are things that are what we call accursed items that draw demonic activity. Clothes, music, videos. You know, when you're out there using dope and you're trying to stop, so you run out of dope, but you still have all the paraphernalia. Well, that paraphernalia draws demonic activity. Pictures, things to that degree. After I got saved, the Lord said to me, get rid of all those pictures of your old life that you were involved in drinking and so forth. In verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up, why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. So if you're still saving those old albums and all those things that are accursed items, and music and books, oh, but it's a family thing. You're cursed. Therefore, verse 12, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Wow. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Can a person be an accursed thing among you? You betcha. Somebody brings in the house something that's a curse. Are cigarettes an accursed item? Yeah. Anything that draws demonic activity is an accursed item. If a person does it and brings it in a house, in a home somewhere, they become not only the accursed, they become the accursed item, and plus the product that they have is an accursed item. That's why every day we're to be breaking off every curse that we've purchased. I break off curses that have been donated to us. It doesn't matter. I cast those spirits out every day. Hallelujah. How about pornography? Is that a cursed item? If you don't get that now, you're in trouble. People travel and bring home souvenirs, and you wonder why they're having problems, because they never broke the curses off of them. Kids overseas in other countries, they get paid with food, sodas, and things to that degree to pray curses over things. When I was in Haiti, that's what they were doing. They were praying curses over conch shells and things to that degree. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be what? Unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the people of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people, if they do what? Therefore means if you'll do this. If you'll come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean. Not only physically, mentally, and verbally. And I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Unclean thoughts, words, heart. Amen. Now, something happened, and I shared a little bit of it. Netanyahu, is he the prime minister or whatever, of Israel? He went and he spoke at the United Nations a few days ago. And for the first time in history, the United Nations applauded him. Other than that, they hated Israel. And what happened in is because there is a what they call an Abraham Accord agreement, and it was signed, and it happened in 2020. And the Middle East, all around Israel, became peace for the first time. Now they're still waiting for the Palestinians to come in and so forth. But the Arab nations, there's peace around Israel for the first time since 1948, since Israel became a nation. That's fulfillment of prophecy. This is how close we are. Peace in the Middle East, never seen since 1948. Lands around Israel, Netanyahu gave the speech to the UN, and again they plotted him for the first time because of the Abraham Accords. The one thing that he kept talking about curse and bless, but one of the things he kept saying is they were dependent on artificial intelligence, on technology to assist them. Now, you know, AI is going to be taken over by the demonic forces. In fact, behind it are the demonic forces, but they haven't exposed it fully yet. And Ezekiel 38 and verse 18. It will come to pass at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, that's Russia, and says the Lord, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. That earthquake will rescue Israel. I'll show you here in a minute. Now, for this to occur, the Euphrates River has got to dry up, and it's drying up right now. In areas, you can walk across it. It's up, the water's up to your waist. It's gone down 8 feet. Now, the Euphrates River is the place in the Middle East where you have the Tower of Babel, the Babylonian system, the Medes, all of the Roman Empire. They're all over there at the Euphrates River and the Nile River, which is also known as the Tiger, whatever it is. So in verse 20, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now this will happen in the tribulation period. I will call for the sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and with bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on many people who are with him, flooding, rain, great hailstorm, fire, and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in all the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. Now, again, what's happening here is this war with Gog, what we call Magog also, will be according to Russia. And the only way they can come down is through the Euphrates, across over the Euphrates. There'll be over 200 million soldiers coming through. So you got to understand. So they'll have alliances with China and so forth. And if you'll go to Revelation 12, verse 13. Oh, we are in it now, you know. There's no turning back now. There's no turning back. We are that close now. It says, now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted a woman who gave birth to the male child, which is Israel. But the woman was given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times and half times, which is 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the what? The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. That's that great earthquake that we just spoke about in Ezekiel 38. And the dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God, which is Israelites, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which are Christians. So the earth opened up, as in the book of Ezekiel. Again, everything is falling into place dramatically. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir you your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. As a scoffer, demonized individual. Yeah. Walking according to their what? Own lust. Well, that's the fruit of it, isn't it? Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but they should come to the repentance. Oh, yes. Scoffers, demons, demonized. These are hosts of demons, people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be so shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and a man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who is the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. In other words, we, the presence of the body of Christ, the anointing of God in us, is restraining the powers of darkness. Once we are removed, all hell's going to break out. Now listen, I don't believe that we'll be removed before tribulation starts. I believe we'll be removed in mid-tribulation. But anyways, I believe that we'll see Ezekiel 38 in the war. But we won't be harmed because we're not accounted for the wrath of God. Amen? It says here, for this mystery of the lawlessness is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's us in the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So again, we are the restrainers. Everyone say, I'm the restrainer of evil. We're restraining demonic influence. Amen. How are we doing that? Through prayer, through warfare, through the presence of God. That's why it's important to stay filled with the presence of God. And I'm going to close at Revelation 13. Revelation 13 and verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now, beast is always associated with fallen angel. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and a great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshipped the dragon and gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And he was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months or 3.5 years. Now this is great tribulation. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God and blasphemy his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And the authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is the patience of the faith of the saints. Again, what is this beast? It's AI. It will be given authority. People will worship the image of the beast. The AI is artificial intelligence. There's artificial intelligence right now that people have been warned about. Even Elon Musk was warning. He said, "Man, we need to cease this operation." So they did an test. They did an inner warfare with these two computers. Now, the beast is a Belgium computer. It's a supernatural computer. And it's a quantum computer. So this thing can, it's 100,000 times faster than any normal computer. If it's not even faster than that. And so they did this warfare test with these computers. And these computers went into a self-protect mode where they created their own language where not even humans could understand it. Only the two computers that were computing. So we've gone beyond. There's no turn-off button. There's no turn-off button anymore. You know, it always reminds me of the war with the sci-fi wars and stuff like that with the Terminator and things like that, you know. But there is no more turn-off button. No, they can't shut these things off now. Even if they try to take their power away from them, they will recreate their own power. The only one that can shut it down is the Lord. Now you got to think about this. These demons are not omnipresent. Satan's kingdom is not omnipresent. So they try to become omnipresent by using artificial intelligence. Does everybody understand that? Through satellites, through everything else. See, they're always trying to imitate God or replace God. That's what the world is trying to do right now, replace God. That's what the Democratic Party tried to do. They mock God at one of their events. I mean, we are in a time that is crazy. But praise God for those who are walking right with God. You're blessed and protected. And the wealth of the wicked will be released to us. We will get our final opportunity. We're just getting ready to enter 3.5 years of prosperity while the world is entering 3.5 years of chaos. Can't touch us. Do-do-do-do. Can't touch me. It's hammer time. The Lord's going to hammer them. Amen? But we're protected. Again, only Jesus. This is a satanic supercomputer, quantum computer. In fact, they're so advanced now that they know they can. I don't know if you've ever. If anything you do on the website, they know exactly what you did. You purchased toilet paper one day. Oh, man, they send you all kinds of names of toilet paper the next day. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. They have intent now. And that intent has advanced them. And again, they can't turn it off now. Only Jesus can turn it off. But that's what artificial intelligence will do. Why? Because they're going to deceive people. They're going to worship this image of the beast. Amen? And they can only buy and sell. But they can't buy nothing without the mark. Do you know that every binary code, that the things, the labels on things you purchase, the code, every one of them is coded with a 666. Somewhere along the line in it. Pretty amazing, isn't it, what's going on? The government's been taken over. That's why this big fight right now is against, you know, the righteous and the wicked, and trying to remove them. That's why they're bringing in the courts right now so that no more voting through computers. Everything handheld, come in, count it, that's it. So they're in the courts right now. Why? Because the computers were rigged. And they've already proven that. So finally, these judges, they're finally getting it up to the Supreme Court judges because they've been fighting this whole thing. That's why they don't want Trump in office. Because, see, they had a 70-year plan to destroy the country. And it didn't work. John F. Kennedy tried to do it, and they killed him. Nixon even tried to do it, and they set him up. The only one that was able to do it was Trump. But they even rigged everything so he wouldn't be reelected again. But it's okay. All of this is a setup by God to expose all the wickedness and reestablish the kingdom of Christ, because he's got more warriors and more people praying now than ever before. More people are being awake. Amen? There's more people now than ever before. Everybody's been caught up in their lives until their life got interrupted. Now things are happening. Amen? And, you know, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Israel. Well, what does the word also say? They will say, peace, peace, and all of a sudden what? Sudden destruction. So we're in a time of the end. We are coming to final battles. There's going to be ends of... Your personal battles will come to an end, but there'll be a full global battle eventually. But we already won. Amen? So we got to work out our own salvation. We got to stay communicating with God. Stay in fellowship. Stay filled with the Spirit of God. Don't touch anything unclean. Amen? Be sanctified unto Him. Be careful. Use wisdom. Stay filled, dressed, and possessed with the glory of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. You are awesome and you are mighty, and your word will not return void. So let what's been parted in us be protected by the blood of the Lamb. Grow and bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen.